with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome in to the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. We're coming to you from coast to coast. As always, our guy, Michael Lombardi, out on the East Coast at his office in Jersey. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, holding down the fort at our VSiN studio in Las Vegas. We've got NFL training camps underway. We've got Step Into My Office, a couple of great guests as well. But for our YouTube TV linear viewers, VSiN.com, everybody, if you're like, what in the heck? Why am I only seeing this girl's mug? Where's Michael Lombardi? We are all audio today, having some technical difficulties, unfortunately. But Michael, we will push through.
Yes, we will, Stormy. I mean, you know, it's a sign of mental toughness. We've got to endure through this. And hopefully Comcast in the South Jersey area will get their stuff going, because that's what we need to have happen. They've got to make it happen.
Yes, help us out. Come on, people. But we got a great show on tap nonetheless. Glad that we can hear you so clearly. And I do want it to be known as we jump right in today, Michael, that not even I, after everything that I said yesterday, could jinx Brian Harman. He got it done in the Open Championship.
Yes. And it was the first thing he said, and it said, as much as Stormy didn't want me, because obviously that fan on the second hole that said, you're going to choke, right? Mm-hmm. That was delivering the message to him. You know, he knew about you, Stormy. He was aware of it out there. There were a lot of people on that course rooting against him. How about the fact that he only had, what, 105 putts for the 4 days?
Yep, 106.
Set a record.
And he didn't, 106. And he didn't miss a single putt within 5 feet all weekend.
And even with you with the voodoo doll stabbing them, you know, wanting them to miss it. I mean, that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Listen, I wouldn't call myself a voodoo doll or a heckler. I was promoting what was possible for him, not bringing him down.
Yeah. We know. I mean, you know, look, you were just stating the facts. You were playing Joe Friday on Dragnet. You were just stating the facts. That's all you were doing.
It's all I can do. But he does win the Open Championship at Royal Liverpool, shot a 13 under for the tournament, 6 shots clear of the 4 players who all tied for second. His lead never dropped below 3, just 3 days of absolute dominance for Brian Harman, and you got to feel good for him. Well, we are pushing through some difficulties here on the Lombardi Line today, Michael. There are a couple of teams that, as NFL training camps are underway, are already having the injury bug strike their squads. We saw today, running back Nyheim Hines for the Bills expected to miss the entire 2023 season after suffering a knee injury that's going to need surgery. He reportedly was sitting on a stationary jet ski when another rider hit him. And then from a practice standpoint, Lions safety CJ Gardner-Johnson, non-contact knee injury for him this morning, had to be carted off the practice field.
You know, these are the sad part. This is what most general managers and coaches worry about in the offseason is these injuries that occur outside of the practice field, right? So Hines is just innocently doing jet skiing, having a good time. And, you know, and now he's going to miss the season. But Stormy, what makes the matter worse is he could potentially not get paid. The collective bargaining agreement has stipulations in it that simply say, if you have an injury outside of the football element, the building, the field, then that qualifies for non-football related injury. And so they don't have to pay him. They do not have to pay him a nickel. And so that's the tragedy of it all. And for, you know, you could say that's kind of cold and all that. I agree it is. It's very challenging. But the reality of it is, you know, that's the rules. And so Buffalo now will need to search for a returner, you know, and somebody that can help them. They've got James Cook. I don't think this will be a Dalvin Cook inquiry. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, because he wants too much money, and I don't think Buffalo wants to go down that road. But I do believe that, you know, they'll need to find another nickel back. They can put James Cook in that role to see if he can handle it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And even producer and Elliot and I were talking before the show started that some of those contracts even have it specifically written in for certain things, whether it's a jet ski or, you know, slope skiing. There's certain things that are even explicitly written in those. So you feel for Nyheim Hines in the spot, a guy who was expected to compete for reps in that backfield. We know how good he was in the kick return and punt return game, famously ran those 2 kickoff returns back for touchdowns at the end of last season, their first game back after their teammate DeMar Hamlin dealt with what he dealt with on the field. So Stinks for Nyheim Hines. Also stinks for the Lions with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, where things sit right now. But we did see a report, at least from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, that it doesn't appear to be serious. Better at this point, practice number one, to be precautionary at this point, especially because with training camps opening up, Michael, I don't know what this time of year represents for you, but for me, it always represents optimism, right? And the excitement around each of these teams and what could be in this season.
Everybody thinks they're going to the Super Bowl, right? Yep. I mean, everybody thinks they got a really chance to go to the Super Bowl. Who's the surprise team? That's all we talk about. You know, I'm glad to hear about Gardner Johnson, because to me, when they cart you off, typically they aren't carting you off to bring you back. I mean, there's a reason. There's something had to happen, and I'm happy to hear that, because we talked about it on the podcast. It seemed like that was going to be serious. And you hate to think that with a non-contact injury, especially for a player so vital to Detroit's defense, you know, playing that nickel slot, being a ball hawk, being able to be around the ball, playing in Aaron Glenn's defense, which was the Dennis Allen defense that Gardner Johnson played in New Orleans and knows really well. So, I mean, hopefully that's true what Pelissero reported, and because you don't want to see the non-contact. We're going to have too many of them from contact. We don't need them from non-contact.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get hopefully an update in about 45 minutes from out there in Detroit. We'll have Detroit sports writer Will Birchfield, also is one of the members of the Lions Game Day Live crew. So we'll get the breakdown of everything that's been going down at training camp. Our own Mike Pritchard will join us at the end of the show too today. Been to a number of training camps in his day as a former NFL wide receiver, currently our VSiN NFL lead analyst. Hear from him. And in about 30 minutes as well, Thomas Gable, director of the Racewind Sportsbook at the Borgata, we'll go behind the counter with him. But more as we just kind of start off training camp, we know that there are four teams that already have things underway. 27 more teams are going to get going with reporting tomorrow. By the Thursday of this week, everybody's going to be in action. So it really feels like the season is here. And for you as somebody who, you know, former NFL executive GM, you have been around teams at training camp for years and years and years. What are some of the best and worst parts of this time of year as teams are trying to get set for the season to come?
Well, it's a confounding problem. You have to get your team ready with physicality and the season to handle it, but you also want to stay healthy. So every day you go to practice and you're just making sure that you're not getting anybody hurt. You know that injuries are part of the game, but you want to try to avoid the catastrophes, the major ones, especially the non-contact ones. So there's a lot of worry this time of the year. It's worry about, you know, are we good enough? Can we stay healthy enough? And are we improving enough? You know, those are three things. And sometimes they don't work in symmetry because you got to work hard. I mean, that's the one thing I think Andy Reid doesn't get enough credit for, is his training camps are physical. They're tough. He works his team hard. That's why they're ready to play. You know, that doesn't mean he grinds them in the ground, but they're physical and they practice being physical and they practice the kicking game, which is important. Something that not a lot of teams do other than like New England, Pittsburgh and Kansas City. So it's just a lot of worrying about injuries. And then once you get past that, are we good enough? Is the guy we counted on to be a good player, is he actually a good player?
How much can you take from some of these early preseason games, because so much of it is about guys just competing for spots. Your veterans, your starters aren't getting nearly as many reps because of exactly what you just talked about. You don't want to risk injury because the most important games are still to come. But at the same token, you see guys like John Harbaugh, for example, and the success that they have in the preseason, the importance that they put on winning. And there are certain instances where that I feel can have positives and can carry over to the regular season. But I also know as a 49ers fan, one year when Mike Singletary was our coach and they won all four games in the preseason, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the year. And then we went 0-4 to actually start the regular season. So I don't know how much you can actually take away from some of those games.
Well, I think you evaluate teams in preseason in pieces, right? So let's take the Jets, for example. There's so much hype about the Jets. So there's no sense in watching the Jets in preseason and coming away with, are they good enough on the offense? Are they good enough on defense? Is Aaron Rodgers back to his old form? What you have to do in training camp is determine, is the Jets offensive line, are they going to be as good as we think they are? Or do they improve? Because that's the area that we're concerned about. Is the Jets defensive line dominant enough? Is C.J. Mosley still a good player? So there's pieces you have to evaluate because you never get to see the whole thing. And then you also have to understand when you have a player that you're counting on, you got to give him enough reps that he knows how to play the game and he's smart and he can handle it. But he also has to play against good players, because the last thing you want to do is count on a guy who's been playing against a bunch of backups on opening day when he starts to play against the starters.
Mm-hmm. This time of year, all about getting that work in for sure. How much also can we trust, like, beat writers? I feel like, at least for me, from the betting perspective, it's important to keep tabs on a lot of the things that are coming out of these camps and injuries and the like. But we're also, it's talking season. And so how much stock can you really put in some of those reports?
Zero, Stormy, zero, right? How many times? I mean, how, just think about going back to when, you know, when Belichick, after they cut Lawyer Malloy, and how the team, you know, they all said that he lost the team and it was going to go down the drains. I mean, zero. I mean, there's always an agenda to what's going on. Plus, how many times have you read in a beat reporter's report about a guy having a good camp and he got cut?
Oh, yeah.
How many times have you seen that? I mean, 1,000, right? Because they don't understand what's actually happening at training camp. They don't understand what's going on. I think what you have to do is look at teams in sections and say, okay, this team's really good. New England, is their offensive line? How is Trent Brown? Does he look like he's in shape? Is he going to be able to come in and contribute? Can he play well for them? I think that's really what we have to get to. We've got to be able to look at sections of the team before we make the determination. Jordan Love, what's he look like? How's he practicing? Not that how many completions he makes, is how is he processing? How quick does he get rid of the football when it's in his hand? We'll see that in the preseason.
That's a great approach, I think, and great advice for anybody out there who's trying to plan out the start of the season and which teams they want to buy in on. We're taking our first time out of the show, but because you did mention the Jets, they are one of the four teams that already has training camp gotten underway this past weekend. We have burning questions that we're going to get to for as many NFL teams as we possibly can throughout the course of the next 2 hours. We will start with the New York Jets coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. And it is the time of year, ladies and gentlemen, that we can finally say it. Football is back. NFL training camps are underway. A number of teams got started this weekend, even more tomorrow. And by Thursday, the entire NFL will be able to say that the offseason is in the rear view. But with that comes a ton of burning questions, I feel like, that we have for every single team. Producer Elliot and I broke it down in a number of different categories, and we're going to start off here, Michael, just with the teams who have already started camp. So we're going to take a look at the Jets here, the Cleveland Browns, the Detroit Lions, and the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll start with the Jets because, while, yes, you mentioned questions about that offensive line, how they're going to show up. We know that Aaron Rodgers has been the story of the offseason, not only when it comes to the Jets, but the NFL as a whole. But suddenly, this is a franchise that owns the longest active playoff drought in North American professional sports, has just one winning season in that time, but they are considered a legit Super Bowl contender in 2023, Michael. So how will the Jets handle their first offseason with real expectations?
You know, I think this is going to be a challenge, because when they stumble, which all teams do, even teams that win Super Bowl tend to stumble. You know, there's not a Hollywood movie. Nothing goes to script. So when they do struggle, how they react to that. And then I think you have to really take a deep look at what will they be like? How will they improve defensively? Can they create turnovers with their defense, which is something they didn't do all of last year? In the last 8 games of the season, this Jet team only created 2 turnovers. Mm-hmm. So can they create turnovers with their team? They get created 1 against Chicago and 1 against Jacksonville. And they were 1-6 in those games. So I think, to me, those are the two concerns. And the other part that worries you is they are now the hunted. Right. You know, remember in The Godfather, where Virgil Salazzo says to after he had, when he was meeting with Tom Hagen. He said, you know, now I'm the hunted one after his failed attempt at killing Don Corleone. Now the Jets are the hunted one. That's a different element when you're the hunted one. When you're on national TV five times, when you're no longer an afterthought for the game, right, you're going to have to show up and say, okay, here's where we are, and we're going to get everybody's A game. Even though they didn't win enough to get everybody's A game, the publicity and the expectations will get everybody's A game. That's a challenge, Stormy.
Absolutely. And you said it, even though they're coming off of a 7-10 season, another year where they didn't even make the playoffs, let alone have a playoff win. And these expectations aren't just from fans or from bettors. They're from themselves in a lot of way too. You hear Aaron Rodgers saying that, yes, of course a Super Bowl is a goal, but then your head coach backing it up saying that they believe that they're one of the 6-8 teams that really is in a position that can say they want to be in a Super Bowl, but really get there. Same thing Garrett Wilson said just this week, that we want a Super Bowl. The schedule is tough. You mentioned the primetime national television games, and every schedule in that division is going to be tough, granted. But look at the way they start off this season. Monday Night Football, week one against the Buffalo Bills. Then they're at Dallas. Then they're taking on New England. Yes, they're at home, but that's always going to be a tough test. Then the defending Super Bowl champions, Kansas City. At Denver, at Mile High in the altitude with Sean Payton now. Russell Wilson's going to have a few weeks under his belt figuring things out. Then you have the Philadelphia Eagles, who also just played in a Super Bowl. All that before you get a breather with the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, and look, and how many times have we talked Jets where they never talk about getting better? They only talk about how good they're going to be. They always talk about tomorrow, right? Anybody who's won a championship really stays present. They stay in the moment. They don't let themselves get away. This is when expectations get you. When you start talking about what's going to happen tomorrow or we're going to be a dominant team, you're not in the moment. And when you're not in the moment, somebody else is going to beat you. That's what I think when Salah comes to the press conference wearing an I Love Hard Knocks t-shirt or reacting to everything, he's basically telling everybody he's listening to what's out there. He's reading everything, and it's reacting to it. The noise you cannot listen to. You must focus. And this idea that we're just going to turn on the engine and the car's going to go at top speed is wrong. And I think that's where it could be a disaster for him.
Yeah. The Jets have had 13 starting quarterbacks since the start of this playoff drought. All 13 have a losing record. Ryan Fitzpatrick had the best at 13-14. So hopefully Aaron Rodgers can be a difference maker when it comes to this team. 9.5, the win total. And of course, somebody, like I mentioned, that is considered in contention for a Super Bowl in 2023. How about the Cleveland Browns here, Michael? Because their GM, Andrew Berry, really has praised Deshaun Watson as they are starting training camp. He said that the quarterback's in a really good place. He's in great shape physically, and he thinks it's going to be a big year for Watson personally and professionally. The burning question here, how will having this full offseason in training camp, knowing he is the starting quarterback from week one, impact his ability to win the season? What do you think?
Oh, I think it's got to be a huge get. I mean, I think he can't get any worse than he was last year, right? And I'm going to bank on what I saw at Houston as opposed to what I saw in the five or six games in Cleveland, the complete offseason. I think Cleveland added two pieces to their team that make a difference, and that is Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, and Bubba Ventrone, the special teams coach. I think those two people will really make the Jets, will really make the Brownies a much improved team. And they were already a good team. I think what Denzel Ward said today, I read this comment, you know, look, we've got a lot of talent. We just need to prove it on the field. And I think he's right. You know, I think he's right. I think they do have a lot of talent, and they can prove it on the field. They got a good running game. You know, I think Stefanski will call a good game. I think he makes mistakes at there. But look, there's no reason for them not to compete. I mean, they can play with anybody. They're good in the offensive line. They're good in the defensive front.
Jim Schwartz, who you mentioned, clear upgraded defensive coordinator. Defense in general should be improved. You bring in a proven player in Za'Darius Smith to replace Jadeveon Clowney. Miles Garrett, who's the second shortest shot to win defensive player of the year. You like a lot of the bones over there offensively. You reference a lot of reasons why this team should be better. I just wonder if Deshaun Watson personally is really in this new place that he keeps talking about. Like he says, he's been in a different space. There was a time, you know, last season when he wasn't even allowed in the building, had to go find somewhere else to work out. He hadn't been in a huddle with those guys, never worked with the coach. The distractions and every interview that he did were taking things over. So I feel like even just from a mental standpoint, there should be a shift in what his reality is as a quarterback. And of course, the last time we did see him in action, 2020, he was the NFL's passing leader. So we'll see what he's able to do in six games last year. QBR of 38.3, 27th in the league, seven touchdowns, five picks, 1,100 yards, and the Browns went 3-3 in that time. How about the Kansas City Chiefs? We talked about it yesterday, Chris Jones holding out at training camp. So first off, will he get a deal done? How will the wide receiver room shake out? And do the Chiefs in camp give themselves another shot at a Lombardi trophy? Could they go back-to-back? I feel like for a team that just won a Super Bowl, I actually have a lot of questions coming into this season.
You know, I do too, Stormy. And when I went back and watched that Super Bowl, they deserved it. They won it. I wasn't sure that they were the best team. They were that day. Were they the best team against the Bengals in that game, right? Mm-hmm. You know, now we know Mahomes got hurt and all those things, but I think it's hard. You know, there's a lot of question marks. You know, guess what happened yesterday? After you tried to destroy Brian Harlan.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Harlan, you know, once we got past that, what did we say to our Kansas City man yesterday? Kadarius Toney has a hard time staying healthy, right? Mm-hmm. What happened today? He's hurt already.
Yep.
He's hurt already. Yep. And so, you know, you're counting on him and he's going to get hurt. You're counting on, can Sky Moore turn around? You know, there's a lot of things you're counting on. And if Chris Jones, even if he shows up and if he's not in shape and he's not playing at the level that he played where he got 15 and a half sacks, it's hard. You know, everybody just says, hey, you know, Mahomes will take care of everything. Will he? Well, it's hard to do that just at one player. Dan Marino couldn't do it down in Miami. So, look, I think the Chiefs are still the best team in the West. I think Andy Reid will do a good job. But there is that after effect of a Super Bowl. There is that. It's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah, and granted, what you said about Patrick Mahomes, obviously he's talented enough to elevate the people around him, but it's tough. Like, you lose Tyreek Hill a year ago. Now you lose Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman in that room. Kadarius Toney, who is poised to have a bigger role this season, gets injured again right off the jump. He missed six games his rookie season with the Giants, limited to nine games last year, and then leaves the field yesterday, first practice, with an apparent knee injury. Andy Reid did call it a tweak, which I feel like leaves reason for optimism there. But it's just kind of an uphill battle, it feels, in that wide receiver room. Thank goodness for Travis Kelce.
He's always hurt, though. Toney's never helped, you know. It's like, I know it's just a tweak, but he'll have something else coming down the road.
Yep. Thank goodness, like I said, for Travis Kelce, the stud tight end, the go-to guy. You got MVS, Sky Moore, Rashee Rice. We'll see who can elevate that room. We got to take a quick break here. When we return, we hit up our guy, Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata. Go behind the counter and recap a little Open Championship.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NFL Betting Guide is out now, and our College Football Guide is dropping next week. You get previews and predictions for every Division I team and conference, best bets on futures and season win totals as well, plus an in-depth breakdown of how you can use our betting splits and power rankings to make you a more informed better this season. Sign up before the end of the month and receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl in February at our early bird discount, $175. Or you can do the monthly subscription and get the first 30 days for just $19. See everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Remember, again, though, this offer ends July 31st. Do not miss out on these preseason deals. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you can do it. Take advantage of our special offers and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni and Michael Lombardi with you here on a Monday as we now welcome in great friend of the show, Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata. I want it to be known, TG, the pins have been pulled from the voodoo doll that was Brian Harmon. And just happy to hear I don't need any more tweets on me causing a jinx, because he gets it done, shoots 13 under for the Open Championship and wins. And you even said yesterday you had some tickets on him at 125-1.
Yeah, there are a few people who cashed into the five figures here, so it's good for them. But, I mean, Harmon, you know, he kind of played a boring round, and that's what he needed to do. He wanted to keep it boring for the viewers out there, and that's what he did. And, you know, kudos to him, because, you know, somebody who's never been in that position before in a major, And to have the two early bogeys and overcome that both on Saturday and Sunday, did the same thing both days. But, you know, I heard what he said in the post-tournament interview there, where somebody made a comment to him when he's coming off the one green saying, you don't have the stones to win this. And, you know, he used that, I guess, as motivation. And, you know, that's the, I guess, the difference. You can say that there's a lot of guys, obviously anybody who's out there on tour has the talent to make it. There's a lot of guys, though, who are on the smaller tours, Korn Ferry Tour, even in college, playing at Division One schools, that have the talent. The difference, though, for guys who are get to that level is really in being able to execute under pressure. And that's what sets them apart. You know, there's plenty of people who have talent and can shoot low, but the question is, can they pull it off when it really, when the pressure's on? And to see him do that in a situation where he's never found himself before, he showed a lot of fortitude there.
He really did. And, you know, the fact that he only had 106 putts shows you his putting was just unbelievable. And
yeah,
the ability to handle the pressure. You know, when I turned on the broadcast yesterday, TG, they were talking, Azinger was talking about how mentally he'd never stayed in the moment. That was part of his biggest problem. I think he was even ranked 38th in the world going into the tournament. But I think everybody thought he had a mental block when it came to a major.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, the putting in and of itself, I mean, just unbelievable performance throughout that tournament to do what he did, you know, inside 5 feet, inside 10 feet. He was just so steady and certainly deserved to win it. I mean, you had some of the best guys in the world chasing you, and he was able to keep them at arm's length the entire time.
3 days of dominance for the lefty, who had just two previous top tens in major championships, his first major championship, and ends a more than six-year drought since a PGA Tour win. Joined on the Lombardi line right now by Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata. And TG, as we have been going through these last few weeks, we've kind of slowly been working our way through the different divisions in the NFL, training camps officially underway. Let's get to the NFC North today, which feels a little bit like the Twilight Zone, I guess, when you look at the odds board, based on what we know of recent history. You're so used to seeing the Packers at the top, and they're the longest shot. The Detroit Lions are the favorite after the Vikings just came off a 13-win season. Take us through it from your perspective.
Yeah, it's a little weird to see this. I guess this is what Patrick Maher has been living for, though, for the Detroit Lions there as the favorite to win the division. But, you know, interesting division overall here. You know, the Lions favored to win it after going 5-1 in the division last year, and they closed out the season over their last 10 games going 8-2. And Jared Goff really had a great year in those final 10 games. Goff only threw one interception, and he had 17 touchdowns. And the Lions will once again have great protection, I think, for him. He has plenty of weapons around him to work with. The defense will need to show some improvement, though, if this team is to go anywhere. 28th in scoring last year, giving up 25.1 points per game, and they let up 392.4 yards per game, dead last. I'd be a little bit careful with all the optimism around this win total, which is sitting at 9.5. I would not be surprised in the slightest if this team finishes 9-8. And then you have the Vikings there right underneath them at 8.5 for their season win total. And for me personally, just from a betting perspective, the Vikings were my biggest position in the season win market last year. I took big positions on them and the Raiders last year to go over their win totals. Obviously, the Vikings paid off for me. The Raiders did not. But you look at this and you say, how did a team that won 13 games a year ago now have a win total of only 8.5? Well, the bottom line is, despite winning 13 games and being 9 games over 500, they finished the season with a negative 3-point differential. They won every close regular season game they were in, 11-0 in one-score games. And the offense saved them time and time again. The underlying metrics for that team last season shows that they should never have won 13 games. Big adjustment here, though, to go to 8.5. and go under 8.5 and say they're going to lose 5 more games than they did last year. Brian Flores is the new defensive coordinator. Can he turn this defense around, which was one of the worst in the NFL last season? I mean, let's face it, the offense is the one who saved really that season last year for them.
No question. I mean, they got, you know, even when they played Detroit, I mean, that was a back and forth. Each team gave up 400 yards in both games. I mean, but, you know, I want to go back to Detroit for a second, TG. You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we're overly optimistic. When you go through Detroit's second half, after the bye week, after the humiliation of getting shut out against the Patriots 29-0, they come back off the bye week. They commit 5 turnovers in the Cowboy game. They have a chance to win that. That's a 24-6 game, but it's a lot closer than you might think. And from that point forward, for the remaining 10 games, they only turn the ball over 4 times. Four times in the next 10 games. I mean, I don't know if credit Goff, credit their ability to hold on to it. But to me, that you're asking a lot to if you're going to cut down those turnovers. To me, is significant, and it's hard to duplicate sometimes.
Yeah, as I said, Goff was unbelievable in his protection last year in that 10 game stretch there that they finished out. Only had one interception, and again, you expect probably there's going to be some regression there. You know, there are certainly always – there are always throws in every single season for a quarterback that should have been picked off and weren't. So they never really make their way into the stat column of an INT. But you expect there to be some regression there.
Well, we'll see if the Lions can carry over a little bit of the late season momentum that they had. I'm curious about – some of these young quarterbacks in the division. Personally, I feel like people are kind of underestimating the Green Bay Packers with Jordan Love stepping in for Aaron Rodgers and maybe overestimating what Justin Fields can do in the Bears offense moving into next year. How do you feel? And when you have people coming up to the counter, in your estimation, is that the feel that you're getting from bettors as well? Or what's your thought?
Yeah, so they both are sitting at 7.5. Wins for their season win total. The Packers are 4-1 to win the division. The Bears are sitting at plus 450. So, you know, the Jordan Love era starts here in Green Bay. A lot of questions. There is some optimism, though, in the market, at least here, with they have the most tickets written on them to win the division here at 4-1. So what has Love learned, though, the last couple seasons being the understudy to Aaron Rodgers? We'll find out. He's only started one game. He's played in 10, so we don't have a lot of data to go on. This is a very doable schedule overall, though. Honestly, one of the easier schedules in the league. And they have a backfield of Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon to lean on. And last year we saw Christian Watson emerge with his speed, a wide receiver. So while I have the same questions everyone has around Jordan Love, I still see this team finishing over their win total 7.5. That is the way they're getting bet here, people taking the over 7.5. And then we come to their week one opponent, Femi's Chicago Bears. This was quite simply a bad football team last year, both sides of the ball. Defensively, they were last. They let up 27.2 points per game. Offensively, they were last in passing yards at 130.5 yards per game. Now, there's certainly a lot of additions there to improve, but I just don't know if they're going to improve that much to get over to 8 wins.
That's my thought process, too. I think they'll take a step. I just don't think it's going to be the leap that a lot of people have put into my brain. Awesome stuff, as always. Yep. That is Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata. Always appreciate his time. We got to take a quick break. We will return with Will Birchfield, Detroit sports writer, part of Lions Game Day.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Calling all BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $100 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account, click on the Refer a Friend program. That'll send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state that you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up, they make a deposit. They'll receive a $100 bonus, and once they place a bet with their bonus, the wager is settled, you'll get your $100 bucks as well. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and up only to wager. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Massachusetts, Mississippi, and Nevada. Just wrapped up a great conversation with Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata, talking all things NFC North. We will keep it in the division. Diving into the Detroit Lions, rookies reported to camp last Wednesday. The vets arrived on Saturday. It's another team with high expectations. Despite missing the playoffs, the Lions ended the season on that 8-2 run. To help us break it all down here on the Lombardi Line, we welcome in Will Birchfield, sports writer in Detroit, member of the Lions Game Day Live crew as well. Has Dan Campbell broken out the up-downs at camp yet, or is he taking it slow this year?
Oh, no. You know he broke those out first thing yesterday. That's now training camp tradition. Although, if you ask him, they get a little bit harder each year as he ticks up on the age chart. But, yeah, he was banging them out yesterday, and he was setting the tone for the team for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, he's got to do it. Once you do it once, you got to do it every year, Will. I mean, if he doesn't do it, then the rest of the team's going to walk out of it. I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, they were able to keep Ben Johnson from leaving, which was critical for them. But their ability to lead the league and not turning the ball over offensively, and as we just were talking with Thomas Gable last set, sometimes that's fortuitous because, you know, guys drop interceptions. But what's the sense that you get in terms of their offense and how they are protecting the football going into this year?
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest swing in the second half of last season, was their ability to win a turnover battle. They were a pretty explosive offense all year long, but once Jared Goff got on this heater, where he's now, I think, 300-plus passes deep without throwing an interception dating back to last season, it brought that offense to a whole new level. And now when you add a Jameson Williams by week seven, hopefully a sure-handed tight end and Sam Laporta out of the second round, Denzel Mims, a trade candidate from the Jets. There are still more pieces to come on this offense. And to me, the biggest difference in this offense this year will be the pass catching game out of the backfield, because Jahmyr Gibbs, the Lions believe, is not a running back. They view him as an offensive weapon. And to me, I expect him to get a workload similar to, say, Alvin Kamara with the Saints, even Christian McCaffrey as a rookie with the Panthers. He may catch or at least be targeted over 100 times this season. He's sure-handed. Montgomery can do some things out of the backfield as a pass catcher. So, yeah, the ability to put the ball in the air and also not put it on the ground or put it into the defense's hands brought this offense to a new level last season. I expect that to continue this season.
Yeah, I know a lot of people excited about bringing Jahmyr Gibbs in there, and a team that finished last season top four offensively in yards per game, top five in points per game. Unfortunate news, however, on defense, though, coming out of Lions training camp early. C.J. Gardner-Johnson with a non-contract knee injury this morning, had to be carted off the field. I did see, though, from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, it looks like it's not going to be that significant. I don't know if you were out there at practice, or is there anything that you've heard so far coming off of the injury?
Yeah, I was out there, and by first impression, it seemed like a serious injury because Gardner-Johnson went down clutching that right knee. He was sobbing, I mean in tears, as he was carted off the field. It seemed like, in the moment, a potentially season-ending injury for a guy who signed a one-year deal to kind of have a prove-it year and then cash in again next offseason. But as you referenced, it does seem like the injury is less serious than it appeared to begin with. In fact, Pelissero went so far as to say that Gardner-Johnson is fine. If that's the case, that is a massive bullet dodge for this defense, because they brought this guy here to be a playmaker, a ball hawk, and a leader in the back end of this defense. Gardner-Johnson has spent his entire NFL career winning, first in New Orleans, then last year in Philadelphia. He's bringing that same winning pedigree to Detroit. And as long as he can be back on the field by week one, I think they'll consider themselves lucky given how it initially looked this morning.
Yeah. Talk to us about their defense and Jack Campbell's role this year. Will he play against all formations, or is he strictly going to be a 11 or 12 personnel middle linebacker?
Yeah, well, he's going to have to find his way onto the first team defense to start. He's been repping mostly with the twos and threes early here in camp, and that was the case as well in the spring. I think this coaching staff still views Anzalone and one of either Derek Barnes or Malcolm Rodriguez as the second linebacker next to Anzalone. But the idea is for Jack Campbell to be a three down slide line to slide line linebacker. I think that is goes without saying when you pick a guy where they did. They think that whether it happens by week one of this season, by week 10, or even the beginning of next season, that Jack Campbell is an anchor and a foundational piece for the middle of this defense for several years to come. And again, when you pick a guy 18th overall, that's what you expect. So it might not happen as quickly as some fans, some pundits would expect, would like, but when it does happen, they see him as a three down and every down difference maker for this defense.
Here with Will Birchfield, Detroit sports writer, 97.1 The Ticket, Lions game day live. Appreciate you taking some time on the Lombardi Line today. Dan Campbell talked a lot already as training camp has started about the hype train and how much excitement there is about this Detroit Lions team coming into the season. They're favored in the division, and especially in the NFC in general, when you look at some of these players that are gone, Tom Brady no more, Aaron Rodgers out of the NFC, San Francisco is great, but who's playing quarterback? The Eagles have two new coordinators, all these different things. Maybe there could even be a window opening for the Lions up there in that upper echelon of NFC teams. How do you view this team this season and what they could really accomplish? What's their ceiling to you?
I think they should and can win this division. I think they should and can win a playoff game for the first time in 30 years and just the second time in the Super Bowl era, which, as you guys know, dates back to the 1950s. They have an opportunity with the window opening in this division, with the players they've brought back and the players they've added, to finally announce themselves as the best team in the NFC North. The last time they won this division, it was called the NFC Central. Mm-hmm. That's how long this drought is in this city. In fact, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won the Lions division more recently than the Lions have, and they now play in the NFC South. All to say, there is a huge appetite among this fan base for a successful team, and the Lions have the ingredients to satisfy that craving this season. I think internally they expect to win this division, and I think they expect to host and win a playoff game on Wild Card Weekend. Beyond that, they're not quite in that Eagles, 49ers, maybe even Cowboys echelon, but they can be one of the last four teams standing in this conference this season. And if that's the case, when you think about where they were at this time last year, coming off a three-win season, coming off their fourth straight last-place finish, it's a huge testament to the work that Dan Campbell and GM Brad Holmes have put in 2 years here.
Yeah, the big move they made, I don't think people are talking enough about it, is Riley Patterson. They traded for the kicker from Jacksonville, right? Michael Badgley last season was 20 of 24. For a team that plays in a dome, Will, they don't kick long field goals. They only attempted 350-plus yard field goals last year with Badgley. They did one with Siebert when he was there, and they were inconsistent inside the 40. Do you get the sense that Patterson is an upgrade?
You know, I think they get the sense that Patterson and Badgley were pretty similar, and they have brought in a guy by the name of John Parker Romo, who had a really nice season in the XFL, who's got a bigger leg. He's shown the ability to hit from 60-plus in limited action so far in the spring and in camp. They want to give him a look, but this is Patterson's job to lose. And remember, this is a coach in Dan Campbell who is not afraid to go for it on fourth down, even fourth and long, once he's in offensive territory. So part of the reason they attempted so few field goals was because Campbell is always compelled to give his offense an extra chance to convert a first down. But yeah, as far as the kicking game goes, it's Patterson's job to lose, but the Lions have enough firepower that I think they expect to be counting more on the arm of Jared Goff, the legs of Gibbs and Montgomery, than the leg of, say, Patterson or Parker Romo this season.
Will, we really appreciate your time and insight, and I'm sure we'll be bugging you more as the season gets going here. Thanks so much.
Great work, Will. Thank you.
Look forward to it, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's Will Birchfield. Follow him at Birchie_kid on Twitter, or I guess it's not called Twitter anymore. It's called X. I don't know if I can get on board with that. What do you call tweets now? Are they X's? I mean, I liked my significant others back in the day, I guess. I thought that was an ex. I don't know how this all works. Somebody teach me social media. Help a girl out. We got to take a break. We'll be back with hour two of the Lombardi Line. We got some folks that need to step into the office of Mr. Michael Lombardi.